If God is for you, throw yourself in front of a bus. No, they think they thought he was the devil. He was they said he was of the house of, they called the master of the house Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. Beelzebub was the god used to be the prince of demons in the heathen traditions of Canaan. And the Israelites called him, they changed it to the Lord of the Dunghill because it was the Lord of the Flies. And the flies are like the evil spirits and the demons. And you see the demonic king in Revelation chapter 9. He comes down and then the beasts like locusts come out of the bottomless pit. The Lord of the Flying Insects. Beelzebul. They thought he was that. What will they think of you? Well, they think I am wonderful. What a wonderful preacher. I don't like the things he says. The things he says I don't like those things he says because they make me angry. It must be the devil. It doesn't make me feel good because I want to feel good. I have itching ears. I want them to be tickled. So how are they going to deal with you? Well, they're not supposed to deal with you as nice as they were to Christ. If they were nice to him, I suppose we would expect, them to be nice to us. Right? If they received him, well, I would expect to be received. But they did not receive him. If they did not receive the master, what will they do with us? They crucified him. What are they going to do with us? Well, God wouldn't let that happen. God wants it to happen. It's what's supposed to happen. I want it to happen. God, help me. I do. Yeah, doesn't that scare you? Yeah, it sure does. I think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood. And just being totally, thinking about what was coming on him. And I don't relish that idea, but for the gospel's sake, I want it. For the sake of eternal life, what do I have to suffer? I want to live forever. But Paul, you don't have to do anything. Christ did all the works. True. He did do all the works. But in those works, he ordained that we should follow after the same pattern as a testimony to the salvation that is working in us already. It is the salvation of God that brings me from sin into a place of repentance and that brings me to faith. It is the salvation and grace of God that does all those things to me. Everything comes by God's grace. And the suffering by God's grace, I will go through it. He will bring me to it. It's not a work that I have to do, but it's something that will be done to me and ought to be done to me so that I can be like him. If you don't understand the distinction in that, you need to keep studying with me. Verse 26, fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye on the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And that word hell is the same word he talked about, your eye. Cast out your eye. For it is better that one of your members should perish than that the whole body should be cast into Gehenna, the hell of fire. The lake of fire probably answers to this idea of Gehenna. The hell that we think of from the Old Testament in many cases, or in general, like the gates of hell, which is the gates of Hades, refers to the grave, the place of death, where the dead lie. The dead know not anything. If I make my bed in hell, and we make our beds in hell because we sleep, it is the state of the dead and where they sleep. Jesus went into hell when he was dead and buried. And as it is written of him, thou shalt not leave his soul in hell. The Apostle Peter quoted from the psalmist in the first, or it was a second chapter of Acts, or third, right in there, second three, go look for it. Read it. Educate yourself. Do I have to do everything for you? But notice, they that kill the body, there's a correspondence between the death of the body and the death of the soul. When you look at a dead body, you know there's no life there. When you look at a dead soul, you will know the same thing. It is written in the book of Isaiah, the last chapter, that they will go down from the throne of God in the time of the new heaven and earth and look at the carcasses of the men that transgressed against God and the place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. They will look at the carcasses there. But what do they see? carcasses, and they appear dead, just as the soul, as it is dead, it will have no life or thought or feeling, but will be death. And death will be swallowed up in victory because there will be no more dying. Death is not a continuous state of torture, but a final state of destruction. Well, somebody say, what are you teaching, annihilationism? No, because annihilation means something is absolutely wiped out of existence. There's no corpse. Like if you annihilate a corpse, if you take a person and annihilate him, the technical meaning is that there is absolutely no molecules left that were once him. Where he's absolutely, poof, gone. There's no residue in annihilation. But in destruction, what is it? Like, it is just like the plucked out eye of Matthew chapter 5. When you pluck out your eye, is it annihilated? No, it's destroyed. It's no longer functional. It doesn't work like it used to do. It doesn't take in light. It doesn't project images to the brain. And so the soul, when it dies, it no longer does what it used to do, which is harbor consciousness and be a conscious person, a being. It no longer is that anymore. It's just the residue of a soul. The former thought of what once was. It only exists in the mind of those who observe it. Meaning, I can observe a dead body, but the dead body cannot observe itself. So it is with those who go to Gehenna, who are burned in the lake of fire. I can observe the residue of what was, but they cannot observe themselves or feel anything because they are destroyed, and the soul no longer functions for the purpose it once had. God destroys both soul and body. Do not let that word destroy escape you. And people say, well, it means the way you might destroy someone's reputation, they could still be alive. They could still be alive, but their reputation is destroyed. Well, okay. But then all that depends on what is being destroyed. It doesn't say he will destroy their enjoyment of life or he will destroy their reputations. No, it says he will destroy their souls. Destroy has the power of affecting the object which it is, the subject of which it is speaking. Destroy what? Destroy the soul. The object of destruction is the soul. So therefore, the soul itself has to be destroyed. Not the some other object. It means they're going to have a bad life? No. It's not a figurative destruction. It's a literal, it's a destruction. Just as the killing of the body. Is he speaking of the literal killing of the body? Of course he is. Saying, don't be afraid of those who kill the body. They can't kill your soul.